Now, back to Vocal Point with your host, Jerry Newcomb, on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, right now we're going to shift gears and talk about the subject of Obamacare and talk about the economics of Obamacare. We have with us a guest who is also a fellow with the Discovery Institute. His name is Scott Powell. And Scott, welcome to the program. And I want to point something out to you that is the finding of a new report where they said they've added up all the costs that it's made that have been accumulated to basically get the rollout for all the people signing up for Obamacare. And it turns out the taxpayers are paying $14,000 per each enrollee to Obamacare. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's when you consider the website at the federal level, but then also what the states are having to pay for the exchanges and so forth. So every person that signs up or has signed up, it costs the taxpayers $14,000, according to Americans for Tax Reform. So welcome to the program, and let's talk about the economics of Obamacare.
When we think of the healthcare system in America, we should think about it as any other part of the economy. And the foundation of a high-quality, optimal cost healthcare system needs to be market-based, a free market-based system. We all know from our consumer experience that the power of the market delivers high-quality goods at very competitive prices when we go into various stores and we have many choices. There is tremendous choice and competitive prices. Healthcare reform needs to be based on such a system. And the reform also needs to address, we know it's been an imperfect system, and it's been probably imperfect because of government intervention as much as any other reason. There is Medicare fraud. There is a big problem with costs being driven up by the tort lawyers, by the plaintiffs' bar that, you know, that will sue doctors when for malpractice, when in fact, you know, most all doctors are trying their very best and they cannot control the outcomes of every procedure. There needs to be limits. There needed to have been limits on liability, but we find in the Democratic Party's healthcare reform, there was no reform of this fundamental problem that has driven costs up by 10 to 20% just from the higher cost of insurance for doctors.
You would think it was more than that, but that, in other words, that the costs driven up by the malpractice suits would be higher than just 10 to 20%, but I know that there are a lot of procedures that are done which are basically along the lines of people, the doctors or the nurses or the medical establishment, the hospitals, covering themselves, you know, in case of or to try and prevent any kind of lawsuit, where in reality that procedure probably isn't needed.
That's right. That's right.
So there's hidden costs, I think, to the
right.
to the non-tort reform.
There are so many drivers of high cost going into this reform, and admittedly, Americans were frustrated. The cost of health care insurance was going up faster than the rate of inflation, and everybody was ready for reform. But what we have received in this Obamacare reform is a big step backwards.
Okay, what would you say to those who say, well, okay, the website of Obamacare had some problems. They're working through those. As soon as that's all finished, everything will be fine.
That is so misleading. That is a distraction. It is not the website that is the problem. It is the fundamental structure of this health care reform that is the problem. So no one should be distracted by temporary website problems. The reality is that Americans are going to have fewer choices, and they're going to pay more for their health care. And in the case of so many people now, what we're discovering is the costs have been driven up so much that they simply cannot afford the choices that are being given them by the government mandated programs.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, as more and more Americans are having problems, they're losing their health insurance. In fact, the number that have been added to Obamacare are absolutely dwarfed by the number who have lost their insurance. So, I mean, as this seems to get worse and worse, what can happen? I mean, can this thing somehow implode and just kind of, in a sense, get crushed by its own weight or something?
Yes, I think there is no salvaging this so-called Obamacare. It is fundamentally flawed from the ground up, and so I believe that it's wise to let the system fail. Actually, although it'll be very, very painful, and I think all of our hearts go out to people who have lost their health insurance coverage and have life-threatening medical problems, from heart to cancer to so many things. And you know, it is really a tragedy, to be very truthful.
Yep.
And when there's failure, there needs to be accountability. When you think about why our healthcare, our medical practices, our medical technology, our hospital surgery practices, and all that the healthcare system is made up of, why it achieved a very high level, the best in the world, it was because it evolved largely through the market. It had incentives to pursue excellence, and it delivered a very, very high quality care for most people. The government wanted to cover the uninsured, and that was a worthy goal, and it could have been achieved without restructuring the entire healthcare system.
Right, right. You say the whole thing is fundamentally flawed. Couldn't it be, possible to say, hey, it's fundamentally flawed in the premise? Who says that the government is responsible for our individual healthcare?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, there's just been an extension of the welfare state mentality that has really, really started, perhaps, back in President Wilson's day, and through the New Deal and through the Great Society. And unfortunately, most people just underappreciate that the government delivery of most services is not able to achieve quality and cost that the private sector can achieve. The more the government's been involved in education, the worse our educational system has become. There's so many different examples.
Yeah, and the teachers' union will say, well, the problem is we need more money. Well, no, you don't. You spend more money than anybody else, and the results get worse and worse.
That's right.
That's amazing. Right. All right, we're talking right now with Scott Powell, who is a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute, and we're talking about the issue of Obamacare. Now, a moment ago, you were saying that the system is so fundamentally flawed that you think it will somehow collapse of its own accord. Now, some have said that this was by design all along so that we could move toward the single-payer system, which means socialized medicine, a la Canada, a la the UK.
You know, one can never know other people's intentions. I certainly think there are probably some people that understood the flaws of the system would lend themselves to more and more government intervention, wherein the final solution would be a single-payer system. There are probably quite a number of people on the liberal side, if you will, that were of that mindset.
Well, President Obama is on tape from 2007
yes,
saying,
right.
Hey, the ultimate goal would be a single-payer system.
That's right. But I think that there are certainly people, I think the average American person would feel very uncomfortable with the government bureaucratization of the healthcare system. They they were looking for a fix for the problems that everyone saw, and what they have received are more problems, lower quality, and higher costs.
Yeah.
And this won't stand. I don't know how it'll work itself out politically. I think it's a huge liability for the Democratic Party in the 2014 election. I think that, you know, the Senate can go Republican. We may have to wait until the presidential election in 2016 before Obamacare could be really removed and rescinded and repealed fully. Hmm. Because even if the Senate and the House repeal Obamacare late next year, early the following year,
they would
have to override a veto,
right,
from the president.
Yeah.
So much can happen between now and then that I think all bets are off on really what's going to happen. But, you know, you never want to discount the American people. The American people have good common sense, and they, I think, fool me once.
Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Absolutely.
Right.
You're right. Okay,
yeah.
So far, the people who've been having the problems with Obamacare are the individuals who, let's say, they're self-employed or they have their own health insurance, and they've been, in a sense, thrown to the wolves. Now, meanwhile, the majority of Americans have their insurance through employer-based health insurance, and I understand for what would seem to be political purposes, the president postponed the implementation of Obamacare for a whole year for the employer-based health insurance. But those of us who receive our insurance through employer-based, maybe we're going to be having some of the same problems a year from now or so.
Oh, I think that's inevitable. Absolutely. I think costs will go up, choices will be reduced, and there system will, you know, will be less good than it is at the present time for corporate plans.
Yeah, but if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance plan, you can keep your insurance plan.
That's what we were promised. That was what was promised over and over and over again, and we know that actually was, a lie. It was really a true misrepresentation.
And now what they're saying basically is that, well, a lot of those insurance plans that people liked were deficient. They weren't worthy. You know, so these are inferior insurance plans, and therefore you've got to get this new government brand.
Well, that's the argument. It is really the argument of liberalism. Liberalism is elitism, and
yep,
elites believe that they know what's best for everybody else.
Yep.
Where you have an individual-based, a market-based approach to life, we recognize that people know what's in their best interests,
mm-hmm,
and people need to make their own choices about what works for them. And of course, Obamacare really undermines that basic, common sense, individual choice approach. And imposes on society a one-size-fits-all. Yes, there are, four brands. There's the Bronze, Silver, Gold, and Platinum healthcare programs, but and each one of those offers different things, but the choices are still much more limited than what a free market system would provide, where choices would be almost unlimited.
Yeah, you know, you remind me of something somebody once said about the difference between a liberal and conservative is very simple. A conservative believes that you are best qualified to take care of you and your family, and a liberal believes that the government is best qualified to take care of you and your family. That's so, you know, fascinating to me. All right, should we get a chance to remake the health care reform here in modern America, Lord willing? Should we do that? I understand one of the things that the free market people would love to see that has not happened yet is allowing insurance companies to compete across state lines. Can you explain that?
Well, that's the most common sense thing to do. I mean, that's what competition is all about. We have laws in most other industries to protect interstate commerce so that businesses can compete and throughout the 50 states. Why we don't have interstate commerce applying to healthcare is beyond me. It can only lead to more choice for individuals. So healthcare reform would start. That would be one of the building blocks, one of the foundational building blocks. Tort reform would be another fundamental building block. A third building block should be that individuals should own their own health care. That is to say, they should be able to have portability of their health care that would move from employer to employer. What's one of the problems in high health care costs has actually been due to the to the corporate sponsorship of healthcare plans, because the corporations typically have picked up the bulk of the cost of healthcare plans for their employees. Employees have tended to be oblivious to the real costs of the plan, and so there have been probably more, you know, more use. I won't call it abuse, but more visitations to clinics and to doctors than on very small matters that probably wouldn't have happened if, you know, the individual had to pay more for it, had to pay the real cost for it.
Well, it's like the difference between, let's say, having cash and spending cash versus having a credit card. You
right.
spend the credit card, and sometimes you can rack up a big bill without really meaning to, but if you just use the cash, you are more reticent to spend. Now let me ask you a question. And this is going to almost sound crazy, but do we even need insurance, health insurance? In other words, what if everything was on a basis of when we need the doctor, we go and pay the doctor, just like when we want milk, we go buy milk at the local grocery store?
Well, frankly, I think that there's a role for so many different levels and kinds of healthcare delivery. I can certainly see the role of an old traditional approach would be a pay-as-you-go approach, where you would have no insurance. That would be very appropriate for many people, particularly younger people. There are others that may choose to want to insure against the risks of, catastrophic risk. I think there's a role for insurance to be played
right.
there. Obamacare, by the way, does away with most catastrophic plans, if not all of them.
Well, what do you mean? It seems like the whole thing is catastrophic. I'm sorry, no pun intended. No, but I mean, you know, it's all of a sudden you have these huge deductibles. Your copays are high. The cost per month is very high. I mean, it's like for the average person, the costs are, I just don't see how they can make it. How can people make ends meet? Oh, and the job economy is not that great now anyway. Oh, and then you have a lot of companies that are going to force people to work less than 29 hours or less a week because of Obamacare. So there's this perverse incentives, to use a good phrase from former Senator Jim DeMint, perverse incentives towards productivity and towards prosperity in this country.
Absolutely. And the sad reality is that we are in a protracted recession that is masked by the federal government's printing of money. So that while the stock market is going up, there really isn't a normal recovery with job creation. And many people have left the workforce. If you added in all those people that have left the workforce that have actually stopped looking for work, and you also added people into that equation that were forced into part-time work when they really wanted to be working full-time,
yeah.
The unemployment rate in America would be well above 12%.
Wow.
And this is very, very abnormal. This is the worst recovery from a recession since the Great Depression.
Wow.
And so we have to ask ourselves, why has this happened? 2008 was a major financial collapse that affected the banking industry, the mortgage, and the housing market. But America has always recovered from crises before, and by the second year after the bottom of the market, typically the economy was expanding by 5-6, and in the Reagan years, it was 1 year we had a GDP growth of 7%. We haven't had anything really much above 3%, and right now the economy is, you know, annualizing now at less than a 2% growth rate, and this is more than 4 years after the recession. This is very abnormal, and I think when you recognize the rules change that have happened by two major pieces of legislation, Obamacare and the Dodd-Frank banking rules, because the rules have been so radically changed, businessmen are risk averse. They're not sure what the rules are, and so they're simply not hiring. They're not expanding. They're making no capital expenditures to grow their business. And the low interest rates, of course, for public companies have enabled companies to have access to cheap money. They're buying back their stock, which drives up the stock prices. But it's an illusion. It's a mirage. Mm-hmm. The real economy is people, is the majority of people. And are the majority of people better off today than they were 5 years ago? The answer to that is no, they're worse off.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. It seems like the middle class is the big loser in all this.
Oh, absolutely, and we don't know the future. What has been so surprising is that this expansion of the money supply has not, you know, we haven't seen an inflationary uptick as yet, which really reflects how weak the economy really is. In normal times, we would have a very serious inflation problem with the expansion of the money supply.
Mm. All right, we're talking right now with Scott Powell of the Discovery Institute, and he's an economist, and we're talking about Obamacare and the economy. Can you explain to us in layman's terms, what exactly do people mean when they refer to the health exchanges? What does that mean?
The health exchanges are a marketplace where insurance companies provide their wares. They provide their products. Now, the products that insurance companies are now providing are all have to conform to government standards, to government mandated standards. And so, most of these products offered by different insurance companies are fairly standardized. And many of the insurance plans have coverage that many people don't need. If they're older, they don't need the birth control. If they're younger, they may not need what older people need. But the exchanges are simply a marketplace. This was mandated by the law, and states had to create their own exchanges. And if they chose not to, then the federal exchange would step in. That the federal government would take responsibility to operate the exchange for people in that state. And I think there are 30-odd state exchanges, and between 20 and 30 state exchanges, and the balance would be these federal exchanges.
Hmm. Now, some observers have basically said that when you look at the big picture of Obamacare, what you have is a type of Ponzi scheme, where you have to, essentially, what they're trying to do is get the young and healthy to pay for the older and the unhealthy for their health care benefits. And yet the fact is, usually when you're young, you're poor. it takes time to build up money and so forth. You want to comment on that?
Well, if you want me to speak the truth about all this.
Don't hold back.
Let's cut right to the chase.
Yeah.
Liberalism, Obamacare is the pinnacle of liberal philosophy. Liberal philosophy is an elite philosophy that is out of touch with the way the world works. Socialized systems don't work because they are inconsistent with human nature.
Right.
And that's the fundamental problem.
Yep.
But liberals never seem to understand. They simply keep thinking that they can remake human nature.
Yep.
And they cannot remake human nature. Human nature is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now the police, the police force knows that that fight crime, right? The police are crime fighters, and we need them. But no policeman ever thinks that they're going to remake human nature. Crime will always be a problem. It will always be out there. The liberal thinks that they can actually eliminate crime or, you know, just remake human nature. And to think that young people would be fooled twice, they've already been fooled once with the Social Security system, with the Social Security entitlement. Most young people, when you go out and you poll them and you ask them, people that are, you know, that are older than 20 years old and under 50 years almost, or under 45, you will find that the vast majority of those people say, you know, we're never going to see Social Security. Yes, it's taken out of my paycheck, but I really don't expect to get anything back from it. And that's the honest view of the majority of young people in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lived with that.
And they're wise, by the way, to, if they've lived with that, to then plan ahead and
right.
get supplemental
right.
type
right.
of insurance or,
get,
you know, long-term
well,
savings.
Get your 401k funded. Take care of your retirement.
Right.
But what Obamacare is doing is it's asking young people to get fooled again. You know, fool me twice. And I don't think young people are going to go along with it. They are not going to pay for older people's health care system when they're already paying for their Social Security. The young people are the big losers in America right now.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a sea change in the way young people vote in the next election, in the next few elections. And, you know, will we have a realignment in American politics? I think there's a very good chance we can, but people need to understand their history. They need to understand the Constitution. They need to understand the benefit of the rule of law. People should be outraged with Obamacare because it is a fundamental violation of our constitutional laws.
Yep. And when you just look at the actual numbers we're talking about, you know, all of a sudden somebody who would pay, let's say, $300 a month for the health insurance, now all of a sudden it's about $900 a month. Oh, and it's $6,000 deductible for the year. Whoa. In most cases, you may never even see a penny of it, even if, you know, you have to spend all that money just to pay for that insurance. So it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. But in the meantime, the Obama administration, I understand, is enlisting celebrities and so forth to try and get that word out there among the young people. Hey, you really want this thing. This is good.
This is the liberal fallacy. You know, they don't learn from their mistakes. You know,
they're just not communicating it properly.
You know, the wonder of the American system, the free market system, is that the role that failure plays. You know, when Thomas Edison was making all those inventions that we all benefit from today,
right.
he had so many failures, and it were the failures of his efforts that taught him the deep lessons and helped him refine the product,
sure.
reposition it and improve it and so forth. Failure is the great teacher of life,
yeah.
and failure is what trains and keeps business people honest. They try and they fail. They may try again, and it'll be better if they've tried. You know, oftentimes if a product is launched three times and it fails, they just that product is you know is eliminated. They close that division of the company. They discontinue that product line and they remarshal their resources to what's working.
Right.
With a liberal socialized system, there is no benefit of failure. Failure gets socialized. Socializing failure is the recipe for a declining civilization. And that's what has so many American people alarmed today. We're seeing decline on so many levels. And now it's hitting home, not just the pocketbook. It's hitting home with our lives. Health is the most important thing to most people.
Isn't that something? All right, well, we're out of time. Where can people get more information about you know, some of your information about Obamacare or read articles or whatever that you've written about this?
Well, I'm a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, and listeners can access all the resources of the Discovery Institute at www.discovery.org.
Okay.
and all the fellows will be listed there, all their articles and their books. There are some very wonderful books out right now, and they're all you can read about them and actually order them right online there.
All right.
But we're all in this together, and we have to, you know, we have to have first principles that are aligned with the truth,
mm-hmm.
aligned with human nature, and that's how we build a great society.
Very
and
true.
Let's hope that we can get realigned around those values and principles that can deliver a great outcome for all of us.
Sure. And by the way, one last thing, since you mentioned Edison, it's my understanding that he was asked one time, he went through 10,000 different elements until he finally found the right one for the creating of the incandescent light. And he was asked, you know, he was asked about 9,000 times or whatever, you know, you've tried 9,000 times and it's failed every time. And he said, wait a minute, I didn't fail. I found 9,000 elements that didn't work, you know.
Absolutely.
And he persisted
Absolutely.
Until he found the right one. Hey, thank
Absolutely.
You. Yep. And on that point, we'll leave you. Thank you so much, Scott Powell, for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now. And we'll see you next week on Vocal Point.
Thank you for listening to Vocal Point. The views and opinions were those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of GraceNetRadio.com or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. Join us next Thursday at noon for Vocal Point on GraceNetRadio.com.